Wow. Wait.
Sells records?
90 Degrees and Rising, the second album released by American boy band 90 Degrees. It was recorded at Blue Wave Studios in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's a cold open right there.
Seven o'clock on a Thursday night. Legacy crowd rolls in. There's a good friend sitting across from me, sleeving up the Badlands with a grin. They say, can you believe the price of dual lands? But I'm not really sure, cause I've got mine. But it's dual lands I need, or I will never compete, unless playing proxies is fine. La la di di da. La la di 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 da da. Print me some dual lands for legacy. We'll make playing proxies a normal sight. We're all gathered here for legacy. The vaccine's got us feeling alright.
Quinn on the show's an arena player. He plays on his iPhone for free. He's got all the new frames and plays best of one games, but playing paper's where he'd rather be. He says, guys, the reserve list is killing things as he looks up from his device. I'd love to finish my set of duels if I could get in at this price. Oh, la 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 di di da. La la di di da da da.
Now Jeff is an eighth of our specialist who beat Eric Froelich one time. For the last few years he's been on Gilded Drakes, and he probably will be for life. Chad is here practicing judge cards as Joe soon calls time for the night. And we're all gathered here for some legacy. The vaccine's got us feeling alright.
Hello, welcome to the Acadian Threshold, the legacy podcast that's about to enter its cranky toddler stage. My name is Quinn O'Murray, and I'm here as always with my co-host, Jeff Kinsey.
Hello.
Jeff, you're laughing, but quietly. You gotta.
I'm holding it in. I'm reserved.
We gotta get us in here.
I'm mature.
It's taking some time. as always, my co-host, Brendan McBain. McBain, what's up?
Hey, Quinn. Hey, Jeff.
There's no housekeeping, so I don't know if that means the house is clean or if we just don't give a shit that the house is dirty anymore.
It's in disarray.
Maybe a little bit of both. So, like, what are you guys playing some Legacy? Jeff, you actually, like, we can't really make fun of you for, like, not showing up to, like, webcam Legacy. Like, it's how many weeks in a row has it been?
I think just two. I think you can still make fun of me.
That's an all-time streak for the pandemic, I think.
Certainly back to back. Yeah. And I hope to make it this week too. So, you know, keep it going, get the hat trick. I've been playing Magic Online though, which has been nice. You know, Strixhaven came out, which is cool. And after talking to Jack last episode, you know, a bunch of juices were flowing. And I ran to my local Magic Online retailer and picked up some Kallus Blood Mages, which has been fantastic. This is like the most like anybody who likes Esper Vile or DNT as a deck will just like look at this card and be like, yes. I think we talked about it before, but it's like 2 and a black for a 2/1. And when it ETBs, you can make a pest, which is a 1/1 where when it dies, you gain a life. I think it's green and black. You can draw a card and lose a life, or you can exile target player's graveyard. So being modal and being, you know, repeatable in Esper Vile through like Soul Herder or Wisp or Baron or whatever is fantastic. Because you can just like flood the board with stupid pests. You can draw cards. You can like have a main deck reasonable answer to exile things in graveyards and like do it again. Like, it's very cool.
Did you say 1 and 2 black or 2 and a black?
2 and a black.
Okay. All of a sudden I was like, didn't Jack say the mana base was awful? Like, why are you playing a double black spell? That sounds pretty sweet though. Like, and listening to both yourself and Jack and like seeing some of these people play this deck, like those little repeatable effects are just massive. Again, it's like you're playing some sealed game and you've got some weird uncommon that you're like, I need to get all the lemon juice out of this thing.
Yeah.
And then that's how I'm going to win.
The fact that like every mode is real too, like, you know, exiling a graveyard is great in a bunch of matchups. Making a pest is a fine floor. Drawing a card is great. The pest also gains life. It chumps forever. Like, the card's been great.
Talking about both DNT and Esper Vile, you know, having Jack on last week, it's been like a humbling moment for me because it makes me realize when I'm looking and being like, this card sucks. Maybe my standards, maybe I'm asking too much of cards.
I think
like,
so.
You've just been, when you're like, you know, every mode is real. I'm like, what mode is Phyrexian Rager? I get modality as an advantage, but you know, like I'm looking, I'm like, why can't they just give me a free pump spell that gives +4/+4 or like a counter spell that costs like 2 mana that just is better than counter spell? Fix a mana drain.
Dude, Phyrexian Rager kicks ass.
Asking for too much.
Yep.
It does Unlimited.
It's so good.
I'll run up to like 3 copies in like Modern Masters Limited.
What did you play last week, Jeff, in paper?
Esper Vile.
Right. Yeah.
-1 Tundra. I'm playing a Raggarin Triome instead of the Tundra.
Oh, yeah. Weren't you playing like a Arid Mesa or something?
Yeah, because I didn't have any Marsh Flats. So I was playing like an Arid Mesa because I was like, well, I think I want to fetch white more than I want to fetch, because my options are not good for fetches at this point. It was like Bloodstained Mire or like Arid Mesa or like Prismatic Vista, which for a 3 basic deck isn't great. So the Triumph, I did get to cycle it last week and it mattered. So, you know, new tech upcoming. And I just got my Blood Mages in the mail today. So I'm probably going to play that on Thursday. But
what's your current Gilded Drake count?
1.
You have 1. Okay.
Oh, you got
so you
one?
Have yeah, you I can do. Search.
It's not at my house. I need to get it still, but I've paid for it.
I feel like we need like a caw, 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 like sound effect. You know, like what's the Gilded Drake count? Caw, 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 caw. 1 Gilded Drake.
yeah, 1. So I need to get it and that'll be good. But it's so hard to find a reason to go into town these days. I do
get
have
your $500 magic card.
Yeah, okay. I did manage to squeeze out a 5-0 this week playing Esper Vile, which is exciting.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I was on Magic Online and I was just scrolling through because it was a new season or whatever. And I was like, Doggins, Jeff got a 5-0. What's this? I didn't hear about this.
Get the bell. Yeah, I think if you look at my history on like Goldfish, I think there's maybe 4 5-0s. I don't have that many for how long I've been playing on Magic Online. I have a long history of 4-1s, which aren't recorded, but I was pretty excited when I had the 5-0. Gravine and I were actually going to do something, and I was in the middle of the last match, and like I was like, yeah, this will be done soon. This will be fine. And this person was playing so slow, and you know, she's over here, and she's being very patient. And she's at some point like, hey, like, you know, it's been a bit longer. You said it was going to be like, can't you just like stop? And I was like, you don't understand. I need this. I don't but get
it. Did you know he 5-0'd because that was your alt account?
Yeah, I did.
Like, you should have just put in the chat that, like, you know, if you have to meet Kirby, and then maybe I can, like, think less about this ponder or something. Although I guess you're playing like Eldrazi now, right?
The long pauses between each play should have given away that it was me, but
I guess not. Writing in chat every time, McBain? Question mark.
Like, he's like, he's leading with Iavugin, and then he just pauses for a sec, and you're like, there's like, you put the cards into play.
Should I mimic first, or
should I put an endless one on two first? Got to sequence this right.
Or do I play Once Upon a Time? I'm not sure what I should do first. I guess we'll go to me then. I had been playing Eldrazi online for the last while. I'd been sampling the buffet. And the last series, I got, I don't know, I think like 2 or 3 5-0s with the deck. I didn't play it that much. It was actually just like quite good for me.
Casually, like, I don't even remember. I just, you know, 5-0, 10-0, there's a bunch of people. Who's to say how many it was?
Well, the deck, like, there are sequencing things, but sometimes it's just like you're quite favored and you just run them over, or right, you get sometimes a good, like, hand, and
the chalice just sticks in as good, and you're like,
well, yeah, and you're just like, okay, this, like, chalice is the hardest part of the deck. And so sometimes you just kind of like run people over, but I got, it performed quite well, but I don't know what I was watching or listening to or like on Twitter, but all of a sudden I just got this urge to play lands again, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I was like, all right, enough of this. And I was like, sold off Eldrazi. I gave you back your caverns.
You didn't get them back yet.
Okay, well, I have the caverns for you. You
may have sold them.
No, I specifically did not sell the caverns. But I shipped a bunch of stuff. And, like, some of the land stuff had actually dropped in price. I don't know, like, it was weird in January. Like, all these things kind of, like, these vintage cards randomly spiked.
Your Tabernacle went way up there.
Yeah, so I sold Tabernacle, like, at the peak. And then it, like, came way down. So I actually kind of think I came out quite a ways ahead on the whole thing, playing Eldrazi for a while. Big thanks to you, Jeff, for the lens on the caverns. So now I'm playing lands again. And I think I've done 2 leagues. I think I'm in the middle of one right now. It's back to the old, you know, play one league over the course of a week, maybe, kind of thing with the deck, because that's just how it plays. You can only go so fast, but I'm enjoying it, and the deck's, like, the lands is actually quite well positioned right now in the metagame as well. So that's been great.
I keep getting dunked on by Valakut Exploration.
Valakut Exploration is so ridiculous. Like, in those fair matchups, when it's just like things are kind of like, you know, it's the like playing D&T or like a fair deck against lands. Usually it was like really hard to kind of pull ahead, but you kind of get an exploration. It's kind of sitting there, like a normal exploration. And then just out of nowhere, you're like, Valakut Exploration, play a land, reveal a land, play a land. And it just goes, yeah. You just take off.
One quickly turns into 2 Valakut Explorations. And then, yeah, ding, ding, ding. You have everything.
Yeah. It's pretty fun when that happens. And the D&D player just can't do anything. And it's like, here's a Field of the Dead. I'm going to copy it with my stage, and I'm going to start making all these zombies. Like, it's fun. It suffers from the same problems of like combo and all that stuff. But yeah, I'm working on like an actual like sideboard mapping and everything for it, so that I can kind of refresh that and update it with the current metagame. But super fun deck. I'm enjoying playing it. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. And then for paper, I've been continuing to play kind of like the Maverick-y style lists. And I think last week I actually just played lands, the same kind of 75 I was running online. Yeah. Quinn, how about yourself?
I don't play Magic online unless there's God accounts. I've been playing a lot of Historic, actually, which I won't go into detail on because McBain will start writing in the notes about not talking
about
Historic.
Thank you for
what have I played the last couple weeks in paper? I played Omni Show or Sneakin' Show, can't remember. I have three vaults now, so I can properly play Sneak and Show. I've been investing in real estate, actually, is what I've been doing the last little while. I had a Underground Sea that I bought with credit that arrived, and a Taiga that I bought with credit from Face to Face that arrived. So I was actually thinking about playing Doomsday next week, except there was a deck that top eight of one of the challenges, and also Sam, Fenris Cloud, posted a list with one and two copies of Mavinda, respectively.
I've seen this a lot.
Two and a white for like a 2/3 flying owl. Looks very friendly. Like, it looks like Mavinda will let you get to the center of the Tootsie Pop. and Mavinda also has an activated ability for zero mana. Once per turn, you can flashback a spell from your graveyard. Except if it doesn't target a creature you control, it costs 8 more. Which means, like, you know, you can't flashback like Brainstorm realistically in Legacy. But that means Invigorate's still free. You can pay the alternate cost as well. So I think I might play that. I was thinking about playing Doomsday. Last week I played Solve the Equation, Peer into the Abyss combo. It's not going to knock off Ant or Doomsday as like the premier combo deck, but I don't know if you've ever resolved Peer into the Abyss in paper before. It's very fun. You just have a hole. You have all the cards in your hand. You don't have to show them like ad nauseum. Your opponent doesn't even know they're dead yet.
You don't have, right? So at first step, you just count all the cards in your deck and then you deal them out.
I was just going to say, do you count the cards you have in your hand and in play and subtract, or do you count your deck? What's your preferred technique?
I was counting because I mean, it's like Ant. So you're like, all right, I have thresholds. There's like 7 cards in my graveyard. I have like 3 lands in play and like 4 cards in hand. And I just resolve this thing. And, you know, now I'm going to draw like whatever, like 23 cards or whatever. And you just lose half your life. You don't have to worry about being like, oh shit, I flipped a Pass in Flames, or oh, I drew a Tendril. It doesn't matter.
It's pretty hard to miss after drawing literally half your deck too.
Well, I almost did. I was really low on life already. I think I had to go to like 1 and play an additional Thoughtseize, even though I knew my opponent's hand, just to get to like the requisite storm count 1 game. And the other thing was the thing about Solve the Equation that the guy on Twitter, who I should have looked this up beforehand, that I stole the deck list from, his comment was, I tried Peer into the Abyss decks when it was first spoiled. And the problem was that if like you could have another like LED or something and like get your hand 50 again and try and tutor again, or you could play like a Wish Claw, but they were all kind of awkward, or you just miss sometimes, even though you're like, how can I possibly miss? You just don't draw the Tendrils. And having four Solve the Equations means like you're just almost for sure going to hit Tendrils or Solve the Equation, and then you get to enough mana almost certainly to cast both or one or the Tendrils if you draw it. But yeah, it's cool to just like have this grip in your hand that your opponent can't see, and they're like, am I dead? And you're kind of like, probably.
That deck seems super sick. I'm trying to scroll up to see that list because I know we posted it in here. So the equation is kind of goofy.
Yeah, I think that could potentially be a card in, I guess, if the turbo Doomsday has to slow down. It's probably like a better tutor than personal tutor because it's not card disadvantage.
Eat your heart at Merchant Scroll.
If it was like instant, it would be nuts, which I mean, I guess if it was instant, it'd probably be broken, but like if it was instant, it could replace like Intuition in Show and Tell as well.
Instant would be fucked.
Yeah, don't have to expose yourself to pesky surgical extractions. You just like end of turn, 3 mana.
Gotta play with Teferi. Bonk.
But yeah, Solve the Equation. There's like a lot of lists actually I want to try. This is like a time where I kind of wish I had a rental account. Not enough to actually go get one, but I want to try that Ant list with like the 4 Witherboomer Apprentices and 1 Chain of Smog in the sideboard. So you're like, when your opponent boards out all of their creature removal, you board in 4 creatures that dome them.
Yeah, that seems good. It seems like such a nice like kind of sideboard plan for this stuff. I actually got killed this morning. I was playing and none other than Seth Saffron Olive was playing Rector Fit, like the Arena Rector. And, you know, I'm playing a casual game one where I managed to get there. And then game two, I lost game one just to like arena rector stuff, you know, planeswalker kill you. Game two, I like squeaked it out for him. And then game three, he just like green sun for like Witherbloom Apprentice and was just like, yeah, chain of smog you. It was like, oh, I was not ready for this.
I think, you know, not to be that Reddit guy. Actually, I think he chain of smogged himself.
You're correct. You are correct.
Witherbloom is a triggered, actually. It's a triggered ability.
You know what's going to happen on paper? Somebody's going to be like chain of smog you and they're like, okay, no copy. I'll discard these two.
Yeah, and then yeah, just slam the cards like, in the graveyard. Just immediately be like, yes, these two. That's the angle shoot. Just throw your cards in the graveyard face up.
I love a good card where somebody casts it and you know, target. Like, you know, your opponent casts like a lightning bolt. You're at three. You have a couple of creatures, you know, target. Just checking.
You just have to be really confident when you say it. And then they'll be like, oh, what does he have?
Well, it's like, what was that one with, is it Esper Charm? You guys know this? Esper Charm is like three modes. I don't remember what one is. And then one is like target player discards two cards. And the other one is draw two cards. So people would be like, oh, like I'm casting Esper Charm. And then you'd ask target, and I just want to be clear. I never did this. I wasn't playing at the time. I'm just aware of it. You ask target and they say, oh, myself, because they want to draw cards. But if you cast it targeting yourself, technically you're mind rotting yourself because the draw isn't the target.
That's not how that works.
Read it.
No, but like you put the spell, there's no targets unless you choose the mode.
It's 100% being an ass and like somebody says Esper Charm and you say target and they just by default will go like, oh, myself.
Yeah, but I mean, even if they say myself, like if you call a judge, you're going to be like, no, that's not how the spell works. Like, you play the spell, you announce the mode. Then if you choose targets, you would choose targets.
Yeah. Look, this is why nobody plays Esper Charm.
I kind of want to. It does a lot of stuff. What is the other thing? Is like kill a monocolored creature?
No, that's Sultai Charm. I don't know. Who knows? It's not worth it. Artifact or enchantment. That's my guess.
Oh, it's just enchantment. All right. Maybe we'll play Esper Charm. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Legacy is exciting now. I'm pretty stoked on it.
There is a lot of really cool stuff going on.
So you guys have been playing online. So Jeff, you just talked about getting beat by it, but it didn't sound like you're too bent out of shape about it. Is the smog combo just fine?
It seems to be. I actually made a talk about this a bit on the last episode because Elliot was playing it in the challenge at this point, like 3 weeks ago or whatever, like the actual like Witherbloom Delver. And I was hanging out with him for most of the day and he got in the top eight and then he lost, but the ability to just kind of play like an average Delver game and just kind of, you know, eventually like Lightning Helix people with the Bloom Apprentices you just have out. And then sometimes you combo them is cool. And in general for like oppressiveness, it really doesn't seem like it. It can like win out of absolutely nowhere. And it does kind of side into, I mean, you're talking about things like Ant where you can just, you know, put in this like creature they need to kill. Which makes it, I don't know. I don't think it's a problem. The nice thing is though, is if it like comes out that it is a problem, like you ban Chain of Smog and like, who cares?
Yeah. I think Witherbloom in Ant, like you don't even need the chain. Like there's the list I saw had one,
mm-hmm.
but I think I saw a list that also just had the apprentices.
Yeah. I was super impressed with watching Elliot play it in Delver. Like you just had like one and then, you know, you just pawned or brainstorm whatever. And like that adds up.
I guess, like, does it feel more like World Gorger in a bug deck, or does it feel like better than that? Because I think that's like a good threshold. You play bug control, and every once in a while you World Gorger combo someone, and like I don't think anyone can reasonably be mad about that. Or is it like better than that? Because then it's starting to get into like, oh, you jammed it in Delver.
I'm gonna say it's better than that because, well, Chain of Smog is almost always completely useless if you don't have the combo. Like Witherbloom Apprentice is justifiable; it's fine. Like you know, if you draw Animate Dead and or World Gorger Dragon and you don't have like either piece and you don't just miser have something to reanimate, like those are just bad. And also
the Chain of Smog's like at least serviceable. And the Wither Bloom on its own is like totally fine.
And having a Wither Bloom out, like it's such a lightning rod that people just need to prioritize it over other things, because even if you are never going to draw the Chain of Smog, like it existing is just one step away from, you know, you, the other person, like losing the game. So people will have to go after it at like super high priority, as opposed to like, I don't know, a Delver or something. It's just punching them in the air. So I don't think it's a problem. It's cool. It doesn't seem to be everywhere, honestly. It seems like more of kind of a gimmick to come out of these decks.
And the fact that both colors aren't blue is also nice.
I think Jax just posted on Twitter today turbo smog list full on like defense grids summoning pack. Oh,
he would.
Like Elvis Spirit Guide. I didn't see any reviews listed on it, but it looks...
Oh, didn't he have like... what was it? He had like all the cantrips, but also like the summons card or whatever.
Yeah.
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 Summoner's pack. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems fine. Like it provides, like when I was playing against Delver with lands, it provides them a different avenue. Cause usually you just kind of like lock them out and protect your life and then they can't do anything. Whereas this, at least it provides them a game plan of like, okay, well, I'm going to save until I have all the lands I need. Like my opponent, I had a choke in play and they just went fetch land, fetch land, fetch land, fetch land, got up to 8 cards and then fetched all their lands that they needed, play the things and just countered everything I did to try and stop it. And I was like, yeah, sure. If I can't kill you in that amount of time, that's totally fine. And it provides them an out that they would never have had, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it comes to Delver, there's always something dangerous when it's like, oh, and then Delver can do it. That's like always like the, like, right. Might be, which is why. Okay, I'm going to introduce this, McBain, and then I'll move on to the next topic so we don't have to talk about this now. But I'm just going to put this out there.
You said you were going to do this, so I knew it was coming.
I'm not like 100% on it. I think there should be more conversation around banning Delver. Maybe we can have that conversation at a later date.
Let's put that in the parking lot, Manager Quinn.
We'll park him with that, and we'll actually we'll move from what was tricky into celebrations. That's if anyone works at a tank company, I'm sorry, I give you flashbacks to your like work, unless you listen to this at work. As alluded to in the introduction, it's our 2-year anniversary, gentlemen. It's episode 52, bi-weekly podcast. It's been, well, it's 2 years for me and Jeff.
Yeah.
McBain, next week you can celebrate on your own.
I was going to make this. Or,
no, this next point. Month?
Yeah, 2 weeks from now, McBain, you can celebrate. But for now, celebrate us.
So McBain wrote the intro song. We all will sing on it, but... banner the intro song as a gift to us.
Yeah, much appreciated. 2-year
anniversary,
a celebration.
What is the 2-year anniversary? Is that like wood or something?
First year is like paper, right?
You better look into this, Jeff.
We all get old. Oh yeah, you're the only one.
Does paper count for cardboard?
I should
like a gilded drake.
It's
I don't think it's gonna fly.
Could Gervine get you a gilded drake?
I would accept the gilded drake for my anniversary.
Then we can get that Guild of the Drake counter up to 2.
A cotton anniversary.
I mean, I think if you're a Magic podcast, every anniversary gift is paper.
Yeah. I think a cotton anniversary, that'd be a good time to like unveil some shirts or something. If any of you just want to have a bunch of boxes of shirts in your house for the rest of your life.
I have... probably like 20 copies of the debut album by Fine Mist, a band that you're like, who is that? Exactly. But if you want one, I got one. And at this point, I don't even know what they cost. So you can just have one.
You're going to cry, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm having a good time. Don't shame me.
So I'm just trying to remember which podcast it was. Everyday Eternal with Pavlik. Why am I forgetting his name?
Callum.
I was like, Corbin, why am I forgetting Callum's name? And Julian, they were celebrating their 100th episode. And their podcast has kind of had this on and off period over the years. They had a rather large break. It's almost a whole new show, but, you know, same people and faces. But they kind of like went over, they didn't even actually know why the podcast was first created back in like 2011 or 2012 when they came out with it, because Matt wasn't even there. He didn't even show up to his 100th episode. The historian. But I know that, I think this came from you, Quinn. I know I was kind of just approached and they're like, we want you to be the third. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess. But maybe like, what was some of the whys behind what you wanted to do here?
I had been listening to more magic podcasts. I started walking to work, and then suddenly I needed more podcasts. I guess I listened to music all day at work, and I've like always listened to a lot of music. And I was just like thinking about how else I can fill the time. I'm going to stop. We're going to take a look behind the curtain for a second. We didn't talk about this on air, right? We talked about this Jack.
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure we talked about it on air. You're like an old man with a broken record.
I mean, I know we talked about it. I just can't remember if we recorded or not.
We'll scan.
Okay. Well, anyways, I listened to a lot of podcasts that I liked. I was not listening to, I have listened to ELO Punters, but I was listening to, I don't want this to be like a dig because that's not the intention, but like I was just like Eternal Dirtles, Dead Format, Leave Your Legacy as well. All excellent players is the caveat that I'll leave, but not always necessarily focused on like how to be the best Legacy player. And there are excellent podcasts for that as well. Like ELO Punters is one. I think Julian was saying he wanted to like split the difference. Like he wanted to be like, I can answer questions about Legacy and not be like, oh, I can't make an informed opinion, but I also want to be you guys hanging out. And I remember listening to that the other day and being like, I don't want to make informed opinions. Like if I have informed opinions, that's great, but I don't give a shit about that. I just like talking about Magic. And so I was thinking like, maybe I could do this. What's the worst thing that can happen is that we do a couple episodes and then it sucks and we don't like doing it. And then we stop. I used to have like a music blog way back in the day. And so I was going to approach it the same way I approached that, which was always like, I'm writing this because I, at the time, wanted to practice writing. I like wanted to be a music writer, but it was like for fun. So I just did it. And at some point, a fair number of people locally read it. And that was great. You know, like it was, felt good, but it wasn't like the reason I did it. And so I approached it the same way, being like, I would like to like sit down every 2 weeks. Like we all talk about Legacy, like most days anyways, have a little more focus, sit down with two of my very good friends and then just shoot the shit about Legacy. And I think the thing I thought about was like, who do I not hang out with like a ton already? Cause I think like, I think like Tristan Taylor, someone who'd come to mind, he's a lot busier too. But also like at the time, Tristan and I saw each other all the time already. We played hockey together. We did like lots of stuff together. So not that I wouldn't enjoy also talking to Legacy about him, but like, I don't know, maybe he'll get sick of me.
Also, since we started the podcast, the man had two kids.
Yes. So it turned out well. He has limited time. You can join us on stream to play Ant Drunk. But I was like, who can I like, know I'm going to like sit down with? They will also probably be into this. We can do this every 2 weeks without like, you know, getting into like arguments about stuff. I don't know. I thought of you guys. And then I ran it past Jeff first. I don't know why I did one at a time and just messaged you both at once. Very methodical. Unlike my Magic playing, it was very meticulous. Jeff, you're into it. I think we asked McBain before the first episode, but like, he couldn't make it or he was out of town or something. So we did the first episode and then McBain came on the second episode. And so far, so good, I guess. Unless you're going to tell me right now that you're leaving. Because we've copied so much stuff, mostly unintentionally, from Eternal Dirtles. So if one of you leaves now, it would be perfect.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the time to announce my new joint venture with Nate.
That would be, what a reveal.
No, that is not happening. I am here. You are stuck with me for as long as you'll have me. Yeah, I don't remember what the deal was with McBain not being on the first episode, because I think when you were pitching this to me too, it was like, just like you said, you know, you wanted to think about starting a podcast, talking about legacy and in the kind of bullshit vein, which speaks greatly to me. And I think you even laid that out with, like, you know, and I'm thinking about, like, you and McBain. It's, to me, I mean, classic combo. This is great. We're the Neapolitan ice cream of podcasts.
I was going to say, it's a good spectrum too. Like, Jeff, I think you hit like the, maybe probably split the difference that Julia wants to split. I know a little bit about one deck. Now I play a lot of decks badly. I can't even specialize in one deck anymore because I bought all these cards.
You've diversified your skills into multiple decks.
And McBain, you think about theory and you like, you know, and like, not to say that I never do, but like, I just like hanging out and playing Magic. And so, actually, that's one of the reasons I'm very grateful that we did this podcast, because you can't hang out and play Magic as often anymore. And so, you know, this is like at least it's a little bit of a replacement for like that part. You know, like, I like showing up on Thursday. I like to win, but I like the deck I played last week, I would have loved to be in Magic Stronghold and have someone turn beside me to be like, is that solve the equation? What the fuck are you doing? Are you flipping half your deck over? And be like, yes. Would you like to see this deck? I'll show you after this match. I'm 0-2 right now.
It's extremely good that, like, how this has kind of worked out with the pandemic. You know, like, we were doing this obviously for a bit before stuff happened, like almost properly a year before, you know, the pandemic hit. And then this kind of becoming another anchor of like socialization, even. And then even within that, socialization about like a shared hobby and, you know, stuff, has been great for myself. It's been a ton of fun doing this constantly, and something to always like look forward to. And, you know, especially with you guys, like, I think one of my favorite things too is that I know that, like, I feel like Quinn and I can get like lost in the sauce and like wrapped up in like some kind of stupid shit. Yeah. And I think it's really good to have McBain in those moments also to like anchor us. And, you know, he'll get in there and tussle every once in a while. But, you know, it's often a nice balance to the kind of crap we're we're talking about.
We hardly need McBain now that they banned Oko. There's only like 6 to 10 cards we can still complain about.
I was going to say, like, the idea of like how we had kind of established a bit of a foundation so that when this whole COVID thing had happened, we had something to kind of fall back on. I also like to think that, like, we started this right before Modern Horizons 1 came out, and like right in War of the Spark, and like what we didn't realize was like the early days of Fire Policy. And I think having to go through that traumatizing experience of like Renin 6 into Lurrus into Underworld Breach, and like having to kind of cope with that and use this as like a bit of a foundational mechanism, I think it really prepared us for the COVID reality as it unfolded, and it made us more resilient. So just pour one out for Underworld Breach and Renin 6, and really teaching us and the Magic community to deal with change and build resiliency. So thank you, all those shitty ban fire cards.
So here's a hypothetical. I'm going to get another beer and also have to use the washroom, but I'm going to leave you two with this to discuss. Thinking about Modern Horizons and War of the Spark, and I think we pinpointed that like it would have been right before War of the Spark released that we started, or I guess right after War of the Spark released, the week of, after the pre-release that we started, recorded the first episode. It was preview season for Modern Horizons. And if anyone has listened to this podcast for the last 2 years, they know that we're like shit at card evaluation. So it's not like we were scared. If I had come to you 2 to 3 months later to be like, I really want to talk about Legacy, like twice a week, we'll record it, would you have been as enthusiastic?
In terms of like the luckiness of getting in before the wave?
Right. Like, he got us on an all-time high. We're like, this format rules. I love my life. And then 2 months later, if you were to ask, you know, in the midst of Ren and Six Dreadhorde Arcanist.
You're not that your deck is ever playable, but like, it was like pretty unplayable at that point.
It was dark times.
Yeah, because you had like Plague Engineer and Ren and Six and Force of Vigor, basically everything that just shits all over Death and Taxes.
Yeah.
And they gave you like
Giver of Runes.
They gave you Giver of Runes as like a peace offering. Like, we're sorry. Here you go. When,
no, it was like, look, Ren and Six is going to exist, so you have to play a far worse version of Mother of Runes to make up for it. And the era of like fucking JR, XJ Cloud playing like Squawks and Taxes. I probably
what's
still
Squawks and Taxes?
That's the Squadron Hawk and Force of
Squawks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god, I forgot all about that.
Would have been a tougher sell on the podcast, but honestly, like, the format itself, even at its worst, is something that I'm so happy to talk about, even if it just comes down to us, you know, waxing about the good old days and the good old times. And I like to think that, you know, we have a certain, I don't know, way of talking that I think appeals to some people, as well as kind of being local-ish for, you know, geography and Magic podcast.
Yeah, I think not that I would have been like, I'm going to take a break. You know, like, that's just not my personality. Like, now that I've played Magic again, and I'm just going to play Magic forever, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have, like, probably slowed down a little bit. Like, the Red and Six era was, like, pretty miserable for the type of decks I like to play. Or the one deck I like to play. Like, I played a lot of, like, Reanimator and stuff, and I was like, even on, like, webcam, that's, like, that's less fun. I don't want to, like, show up on the webcam Thursday and be like, and no offense to anyone who does this, it's just not the thing that I like to do, you know, to be like, turn one, make a Grizzlebrand, draw a billion cards, tie some turn and kill you. But like, playing it in paper then, and then coming here and like, you know, just talking about Legacy, even if, you know, it was a lot of McBain reeling us in when we were like, Legacy's terrible, still can be engaged. And also like, maybe keep an eye on stuff, you know, to be like, oh, it's like Rug Delver again, but I guess I have to talk about this. So I should probably have more to say than just Rug Delver again, and like count Rug Delver and think about like what is actually happening and why we're seeing Ren and Six and what are some play patterns and, you know, watch some YouTube videos. And so, yeah, I guess through like probably the darkest period since I started playing Legacy, I would say, like the worst period of time for the format. Cause I guess when I first started, I'm sure other people were like, this is quite dark, because I joined at the tail end of the Dig Through Time era. But like, from the Dig ban, like, that was probably like the worst time for the format.
Yeah, I can agree to that. And when do you think that time ended, if you're going to put an end on an eon? Is it when Ren and Six got banned, or is it when
Oak? Oh, when like Underworld Breach came out. I'm just kidding. No, I would
argue that things were pretty great before War of the Spark.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a pretty great little window of time that we had. There's even
like
people
who wanted post Deathrite Shaman pre War of the Spark.
Post pro Deathrite Shaman. People really liked that. There was even like when we were in the dark times, there was people wanting to like make a pre War of the Spark format.
Mm-hmm.
And have tournaments and stuff associated with that. And I was just like, not at all an advocate of that. Barely an advocate of like the pre-Industrad. Is it pre-Industrad? Yeah, pre-Industrad Legacy. Industrad. Before you like have Delver and Grizzlebrand and all that. That's far enough back for me that it's basically a whole other format. But there was the pre-War of the Spark that I think people kind of put a mile marker on to say that was a pretty good time. And it ended when War of the Spark came out. And then we had this big window of time where it was just Fire Policy 101. And I would put the closure of that period when they did the recent bannings of Labe, Arcanist, and Oko. So I think it's pretty unanimous. And there was that Goldfish article that came out a few weeks ago or a week or so ago. And everyone was just like unanimous to say that the format's amazing right now. They had, you know, like their little 2 cents to add here and there, but overall it was, the format is amazing right now and you should be playing and engaging in it. And it's a huge, it's a shame really that we're not able to kind of enjoy it together.
Mm-hmm.
And to really kind of play in paper and go to events and all that. Like, it would be so great to go down to like Mox Boarding House for a 5K right now. That would be so, like, both just to like see people and to do all that stuff, like regardless of the pandemic. But like the fact that the format is just incredible right now, that really makes me sad that we're sitting here and we've said the words like Modern Horizons 2. And then Legacy 3 right now. And like, to me, it's regardless of what happens in the future when that set does come out, it's a shame that we're kind of like missing this opportunity to really engage and to have that kind of collective experience in playing, and that it's really just people like, you know, in their house playing on Magic Online.
Can you imagine if they, by the time we're able to have paper tournaments again, they ruin the fucking format with Renin 7? Like, the only period Legacy was like truly great for like a couple of years is when everybody's locked in their house.
I will go on record as saying I am more scared of Modern Horizons 2 than I am of getting blood clots from the AstraZeneca shot that I got. That, you know, take that as you will. If that's just, if you want to read that as like heavily against Modern Horizons 2 or pro vaccine, maybe both. Let you interpret that yourself.
Yeah, Modern Horizons 2 probably has a 1 in what? How many cards were in there? 200? 1 in 200 chance of something being stupid?
Well, if, again, to play my role in this Neapolitan ice cream, when we did go back and we did a set review for that year, our favorite set, like at the end of the day, was Modern Horizons. Like, it provided, on whole, great cards for Legacy. I think there was like 2 cards that were just egregious. Like Renin 6 was egregious. Mm. And then
there's 3.
Plague Engineer and Astrolabe. Yep. There you go. There's and the
Force
3.
Negation.
Yeah.
Yeah, Force Negation's in there. But like, there was a lot of really cool ancillary cards that kind of made decks a thing and or supported archetypes that were kind of thrown to the wayside. So like, I think that there's potential and opportunity, and hopefully something was learned and they're not just going to print another set of like force effects,
mm-hmm,
or something dumb like that. And like, it would be more interesting to kind of get away from the Simic. Like, we don't need to go into this, but there's opportunity. Like, they've right. shown that they'll go outside the mold and make powerful cards. And really,
you are right. Like, Modern Horizons did do a lot of really cool things. And, you know, there's obviously, I think it was pushed too far in some cases, but there was a lot of great cards or great designs, either from even just a limited standpoint or like just little tiny, tiny role players in Legacy stuff, like, you know, my boy Sling Gang, like that card's awesome. The ninjas are super cool.
I think the position I've come around to is, like, I agree, like all those cards you mentioned, obviously, like McBain and I have an affinity for Goblin Engineer. Like, they're cool cards. My preference, especially in the era of like Magic Online, more shared information, things get solved faster, is that they don't inject like 10 cards in the format at once.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me appreciates that they're designing for Eternal, and like, yeah, I think in fairness, like, you know, amongst those that handful of cards that were like a little too much, there were some cool designs. But I think, at least for me, and this is like a purely subjective thing, I like it when, like, you know, Witherbroom Apprentice pops up and it's a combo right. card, and maybe it's just a utility card, and, you know, we got that, solved the equation, and that like blue red cantrip and Sedgemoor Witch. That's actually quite a few things, all of which seem like, you know,
but they're like
borderline
spot, though, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And they have spots. They're not going to immediately like just go into an archetype because they designed them with a, you know, type of deck in mind, and people like play around with them. And, you know, there's going to be some months, you know, where smarter people than me are going to decide whether they're good or not. And then some of them will stick and some of them won't. And some of them will show up like 2 years later and be like, oh man, I saw this guy play Sedgemoor Witch again. And that's cool. Yeah.
I think that came through in the next following year in our annual kind of review at Christmas time. And Jeff, you and I kind of settled on what was the Skyclave set with Valakut?
Oh,
Zendikar?
Yeah. Zendikar.
Yeah, and Rising. Quinn, you were like, hands down, the best set was some bullshit set that had no playable cards. And your opinion was like, I don't want to have good stuff. I want to have kind of edge case stuff that's interesting and not hyper disruptive.
Did I say Zendikar Rising?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
No.
Check the tape.
It was like when it was like before when you were like,
Allegiance
was the best set. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Oh, maybe. Did I go that hard?
I think it was.
Zendikar Rising was a fine set.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's definitely a sweet spot.
I think we're on the spectrum of set power. We're kind of either in the middle or down a little bit from it. We don't like hyper powerful sets.
Right. I hope
Strixhaven seems like it's going to be great.
Yep.
Which is good because it's like the nerdiest theme ever. Like, obviously, I'm a fucking nerd. I own tons of Magic cards, but like, well, wow.
Come on, it's not bad.
The only thing nerdier than Strixhaven is when people are like, well, actually, the trope of wizard school is quite old. It's not necessarily Harry Potter, just so you know. Here's some examples of the wizard trope in books predating J.K. Rowling. Actually. Fuck.
I don't know. I honestly have to say that I haven't really been that invested in the new set or really exploring it a lot. But I was just scared by Elliot's comment in the Canadian Slack that we have. Shout out to Ian on that one. And Elliot said, I've played exactly 2 matches of Delver with expressive iteration. And I've got to say that it's fucking bananas. And I'm just like, I'm scared when I hear him.
I don't want to get into the should we ban Delver thing right now, but I will say if every card that Elliot played 2 matches with and said it was bananas was actually bananas long term, they would have banned Delver by now.
That's fair.
He's better at Magic than me for sure. He gets very excited about cards. Sometimes they turn out to be, you know, the whale turned out to be good, but there's like so many cards, you're like, this card's nuts. Did you say that about like Storm Chaser Mage? Not Stormfisher Mage, Stormcaller, whatever, the thing that, like, the fork guy.
The entity?
No, the one
in the blue. No, the 2 in blue.
One in blue.
Stormcaller Mage. Yeah. Like the Snapcaster one.
Yeah.
That card fucking sucks.
Seagate Stormcaller.
Yeah. Buy these now.
Yeah.
Before they pop off. It's incredible.
So, Quinn, I had a question. Because we wanted to kind of do this next segment, and I was going back and listening to old episodes, primarily just the starting bits, and episode 1 just has some weird little interlude in it. And then out of nowhere on episode 2, there's this like song that you kind of sung on top of and improvised. Like, where did that come from? What was that going back to like your music blog? Like, I literally have no context in terms of
where. I assumed, I don't know, or I thought, not I assumed, I thought this was the truth, that if you were below a certain like amount of time, then you could use a piece of copyrighted music and it was fair use. That's not correct. I do listen to a lot of podcasts where I'm like, I don't, like, now that I've looked into this, I don't think you could use Gob as your theme song podcast that I won't name, you know? Without asking. And so like the Dave Chang podcast uses Yola Tango, and every episode he starts it by saying, thank you as always to Yola Tango for the theme music, which I'm sure also means they're paying royalties to Yola Tango, which Dave Chang can afford. So I was like, oh, we'll just play some intro to like some popular song. And then we'll, you know, find something that like has some words that we talked about and that'll be funny, was my original plan. And I'm like, I should look this up. Cause like, I don't want to have to like re-upload all of our like episodes because we use copyrighted music, or like we get some warning and they take them all down.
Like, and I looked it up and like, vault.
There is no amount of time that's like fair use unless it's like a sample. So if you're taking a piece of a part of a song and reinterpreting it as something else as a creative work, that's like, then there's like a threshold where like you can use a certain part and not clear the sample. But you can't just use someone's song on your podcast as an intro. So the first episode is actually the intro to a song that a band I was in wrote, because I'm like, well, I own this. This is the only pieces of music I own. So I'll just cut this for their singing. And then after that, I was kind of like, what are we going to do? Like, we can't have this, like the intro, I guess, was serviceable. And I think in my head, I'd come up with an original idea. But going back to what I said earlier about accidentally ripping off Eternal Dirtles and other podcasts, I was like, oh, we could do like a parody song. That would be funny. And now I've been on this road, and you gentlemen have joined me in this quest. Jack has also joined us in this quest. And 50 and a half episode, and we reused once of 51 songs.
Less than that, because the first episode, no song, and then we reused the song.
And we used one repeat, but there was a half episode, because we did a special in-between episode, and I think there was a new song for that.
I just want to say, I remember, like, you sent us that 12 Post Road, and, like, I remember where I was when I heard this.
This is momentous for me, because no one will ever say that about anything other else that I've sung in my life ever.
I was standing in the other room right behind me here, and I was walking over to the couch to see Gravine, and I had my phone, and I had a message from Quinn, and it's like, oh, Quinn, he attached a song in the Slack, and I just hit play and sat down, and it is a game changer.
I'm thinking about you being like, I remember where I was, and I want to be like when you proposed to Gravine, 9/11, I sent you some fucking parody magic song.
I'm going to be on my deathbed. Play me 12 Post Road. 12 Post Rosebud.
Gravine, cue it up.
Yeah, that one was good. Like, so I went back and I listened to a whole bunch of them. We kind of thought it would be fun to kind of like pick our favorite one or talk about some of our favorites over the years.
This was so fucking hard. This is so hard to pick anything aside from just a very large collection of songs that I liked a lot. And to be clear, they're all very good. But there's definitely some that stand out.
Having done most of them, I was like, I'm not participating in this. Although I must say, like genuinely, I'm not just like blowing some smoke, trying to be polite. Like both, like would both of you have done them? I'm always like, yeah. Like, which is I think probably why maybe Jeff, you're feeling so good about the ones I've done, because I think it's just like when I think my favorite is when Jack came and was like, hey, you're going to like give us your time, be a guest on our show, you know, be an incredibly wonderful human being, talk about your magic expertise, and also I also recorded a song, is that okay, buddy? Is that okay? Like, are you kidding me? Hey, I got reservations to this restaurant. I'm just gonna pay for the entire thing, and I'm just gonna buy you dinner tomorrow too. Is that okay? Like, you betcha.
Yeah, I know you normally go here at this time every week. It's all taken care of,
and this is throwing no shade on all of the prior guests that we've had.
Maybe a little. Yeah, I mean, songs.
Yeah, we're just he brought extra, you know? Everyone else brought themselves, and they're all wonderful.
So you're saying this is a new phase of the podcast. It's like, if we're going to have a guest now, they got to bring their own soundtrack. Oh, with their own, like, WWE, like, entry song that they come on with.
Ooh, that'd be good. If someone did, like, mental note. Parody of a WWE entry song.
It's good. So since Quinn is abstaining from this, he doesn't want to, you know, self-reflect too much. McBain, I see your list you wrote down. It's just about as big as mine. So, I mean, is there like, what stands out to you on this, like, in particular? Like, if you had to pick, it's really hard, but just like, you know, top few.
So I kind of had some buckets that I was kind of putting them into. There was one of the buckets was the song just perfectly captured that format moment. For me, like, there was three that kind of stand out. There was the breeches, or the Peaches cover with Underworld Breaches. There was Companion City, and then it wasn't in my top ones, but there was what was the one that was just banned, the Cascade one. What was the Cascade
one? Valky?
Valky, yeah. There was one for Valky.
Yeah.
And like those ones, like I didn't write that one down, but I just remember like that one was in that bucket for me, where it wasn't particularly talking about something that like happened in the format or like something that was in the news. It was just like, this is the feeling of where we're at right now. And when we talk about that kind of era that this podcast has covered, where you had War of the Spark till banning of the final awful fire cards, and we only have a few of like the mostly awful cards left, like that big chunk of time, there's a few of these songs that really capture like particular moments as we move through those. So some of those really stood out to me. If I had to like pick two, like the Breaches and Companion City are like definitely my favorites in that bucket. What are your thoughts on that, Jeff? Like, I see that you had both of those ones down as well.
So good. And like, I think if I had to pick something that was towards like the top of like, what's just my actual favorite, like, you know, across the board, it's probably Companion City.
I really like Companion City.
It's episode 26. And like, there's a few where, you know, it really encompasses, like you said, what's happening in Legacy, they're having the feeling. And there's also a few where Quinn's just like on fire. Like, I was going through these episodes and I'm cutting a little bit of the cold open in the music to, we're going to try to run a poll, I think. And I'm going to put these up so people can listen to them all at once. But I was just working through the episodes, pulling these out. And like, there's segments where it's like three or four episodes in a row. And like every song is fantastic. Like, they're so good. But Companion
City, I feel like you guys are heavily biased, but I appreciate the kind words.
Hey, you keep your thing on mic.
Yeah, or they're very mute. Good. Companion City is fantastic. Veils of Summer, also very good. Episode 22. Yeah. After the veil. any of the ones where Quinn's playing guitar, which is an extra level of just, oh man, the care put into this is amazing.
Yeah, for me, that one was Apparitions. That one really stood out. Like both, I do appreciate a good Matt, good song, and that's probably one of the best ones. The fact that you played that and then the lyrics for it were so good. Like,
and I can't hit that high note. That's one too where like there's a lot of like I think our audience is probably mostly American and they're like, what the fuck is this? I'm sure that happens to like everyone once in a while, but that was one that like if you're not from Canada, like you don't know that song.
I don't know. I think maybe it's just the bubble I live in, but sure. Yeah, for sure. So there was those ones. To be honest, I had never heard of whatever the Companion City song is. Atlantic City?
Yeah,
I had never heard that song before. No, and like I've heard a lot of Springsteen songs, but I hadn't heard that one. So I went and actually listened to it. And I was like, oh man, this is so good. Like,
I have to confess, I was the exact same. I was like, I told you before, Quinn. Sometimes your like voice is so good on it that like I'm like, oh, that's Springsteen, and like I don't know what song this is. I don't think I've heard it before, but I said, this is a Springsteen song.
I wanted to say I didn't pay either of them to say this stuff. I also like McBain. I think like my biggest contribution to this podcast is to introduce you to the works of Bruce Springsteen.
Believe me, I knew. Hey, the only two songs I've done have been like classic rock songs. So like, please, I know my. Generally classic rock, but for some reason I just hadn't heard that Springsteen song. There was a few other ones like that I also hadn't heard before, like the, was it Sheryl Crow, like the Strong Enough for Legacy, that one again. Like it was just kind of like, it's you've got quite the breadth in terms of songs that you'll kind of look at and cover, and like that one was kind of out there along with like Spice Girls and stuff, but it was both different, but it also like perfectly expresses like the feeling of spoiler season and looking at things and being like, oh, like, oh, this card's good, and I'm gonna go get a 5-0 and prove you guys wrong. Like, I love the ones that just tell like the perfect story. So there was those ones. The other bucket that I have were kind of the ones on the opposite end of the spectrum as like a time in Legacy. It was more of like a foundational aspect of Legacy. So Brainstorm and like saving your Brainstorm one more turn. To me, that was a great one. I really liked that one. When it was a kind of like episode a different 44. Song. Yeah, episode 44. And that was another great one where it's timeless.
Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of the opposite of those exact format moment ones.
If I can say
what song was the Brainstorm one?
It was Wilson Phillips or something. Hold on.
Yeah, that's another like 90s.
Like, I played that one, Alyssa. I played that one, Alyssa. Like her ears perked up. She's like, "Oh man!" And she just like started singing the lyrics along.
To talk about one more that's like a specific time and feeling, the Christmas song you did this year, All I Want for Christmas, man, that's like All I Want for Christmas is a GP, like that's it. And cutting to like, you know, the red gathering point, like I felt that song, you know, like I just get this over with. Let's all go meet up for a GP. And, you know, fucking shred 3 boxes of Modern Horizons, like pack war, get drunk, you know.
Thinking of the red gathering point, like one of the things during the pandemic, obviously I've missed, like you talk about the things you like really miss, you know, like I miss like hanging out with you guys, you know, which would be intentional. But all those things were like, yeah, I miss, like I used to see this person around, you know, I would see them all the time and I don't really know them very well, but you like know them enough, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you're standing there being like, are you guys in like draft pod 4? And you're all holding like the beeper thing. And you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm in the right place? Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's just like when you're at a GP, you're waiting for a side event to fire, you're like, yeah, it's a place of magic. Draft pod 4? Oh yeah, draft pod 4.
Here is just electric.
Number 10, I just put lightning bolt crashes. But that was the one that we did with Lyle, and he's like the burn father. I just felt like that one kind of stood out to me on its own level, where it was just kind of talking about what a deck was and the feelings associated with the deck. I really like that one. That
episode is one of the ones that I like, of all the episodes we've done, I love the most, because if anyone is like, burn's a shitty deck, like burn's for like, if you don't know how to play Magic or you like can't afford Legacy, like I would, that's a thing where I'm like, you should listen to our friend, like you should listen to my podcast. But because we had our friend Lyle on, and just listen to this man talking about hurling lightning bolts at people, and you will understand, you know, like as you know, Lyle talked about, you will understand the philosophy of fire. You'll elevate your consciousness and how you feel about
I was gonna say in like the Tao of lightning bolt or something. Yeah, that was a really great episode, and I'm glad that I could be part of it after you guys fire blasted the first episode off into oblivion.
The first episode was me not recording it. That's how people think you play burn, and then what people heard is like how you actually play burn.
Honestly, like sack 2 recordings to get 4 podcast hosts.
Yeah, there you go.
You got a Jeff. You had a couple on here that I didn't have.
So hopefully people see this when I put up this poll and these links. Like, I was having such a fucking good time today going through our catalog, and just like, I could have probably just asked Quinn, hey, can you send me like the actual song recordings? But I didn't. I downloaded all the episodes and I was cropping them in Audacity, and it meant I had to leave a little bit of like the cold open in to like make some context when we're talking over, you know, the beginning of the song. And I also got to leave in the, like, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Canadian Threshold, the, you know, Legacy podcast, that, and just cut it off right after that line. And, like, songs aside, listening to all of those brought me, like, so much joy today. Like, this has been a good fucking time, guys. But going through here, like, I had to stop myself from just writing down, like, every song. Like, I don't even want to list them off. They're just so good. I mean, McBain, like, Hull Breaching, episode 41. like Free Fallen. Such a good song. Such a good cover. I did put one of my own in here. I felt a little proud of it. Pony episode 43.
I remember when you posted in the Slack and you just wrote like, you attached the song. You said, "I'm so ashamed of myself." And then I just like played it and you just hear that first like bow. Wow. And you just know exactly what it is.
It's the best on the, I found like a, you know, there's just audio only track, instrumental track on YouTube that I downloaded to get like the backing music. And the first comment on there is like, this is recorded with the grossest burping sounds. But I probably listen to that song. Like, I don't know. I don't know if you do this when you're recording something, Quinn, but I'll listen to the song maybe like 100 times in like 2 days.
Yeah. And I'll put it in incognito mode because I don't want to ruin my YouTube algorithm. And I also listen to it on YouTube instead of, and I also don't want to ruin my Spotify algorithm. So I'll just have an incognito window with like whatever song I'm trying to like
ingrain. You do a lot to try to get the flow or, you know, like figure out how it goes.
One of my grandmothers hated Pony. My grandmother who like,
who's didn't the speak grandmother English, like, super well.
Yeah. So she didn't speak English super well. So she didn't hate it because it was like super horny, but she was just like, she was like, the burping. It's just like the song. It's so like so unpleasing.
Jeff, I see here you had Ironic down.
It's so good.
That one is really good. That was one of those ones that like, again, Quinn just kind of like pulls out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Posts
that
it.
That is you're like, just that like, song is just like anything that fits like, it's like, hey. Like it could be anything. And my head will just be like, oh.
But like all of the little like instances that you got to like have in there, it's like days on your turn one play or whatever. Like yep. You're just you're like, oh yeah, that is totally. I don't know if it's ironic. It's more just like shitty, but
that's fitting with
the song. Nothing in the song's ironic.
The song itself is ironic because it's not about irony.
Yeah, that's like if that's the next joke. Level play. It's truly
Yeah.
There was two other ones, and this was kind of like in the other bucket, but we did kind of like ban list ones. And in that we had the ban list of the format or like the countries of the world Animaniacs one. And that one we like was kind of different because we like the three of us workshopped it a few times, like trying to like cram all the cards in there and like get the right cadence. And like that one was like really difficult to kind of like weave together.
The song works for Czechoslovakia.
and like trying to write that out and then communicate the cadence to the other person, like you're kind of putting in dashes and this and that. And it just like, it was really hard to do. And then like someone would come in with like a whole rewritten section. And then of course, Quinn just takes it away at the end of the day and just like knocks it out of the park. But there was that one, and then there was the Ren Didn't Start the Fire, Billy Joel went as well.
Episode
and 14. That one was another great one. Yeah, episode 14.
We're running out of songs like that. Like, there's It's the End of the World, We Know It by REM, and then we're kind of done on like the tongue twister song.
Yeah, so those are some of like the top ones. One other one that kind of stands out to me, only because every once in a while, Ian on the Dead Format will kind of reach out and just be like, you know, I really liked whatever, like, and he'll give me some specific feedback on something, like the Blue Stew commercial that we had. he fucking loved that one, which was like, I'm so glad that we did that one because it was such a short period in time that like the Blue Stew thing was really a thing, and to have someone kind of like put all that effort into it blow up, and then us get to do like a little commercial of it was really fun. But the other song was The Zombie by Cranberries when the Walking Dead stuff was released.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that was another one, Quinn, that you really captured that.
It had that episode with James. And Ian was like, wait, he's not Irish? Which, to be fair, makes sense. Because like, well, like Zombie, like Irish band, like Quinn O'Malley, like that does sound Irish. And like James, like, no, he's Asian. Yeah, oh, like, no, he's not.
Oh, apostrophe Maury or something.
Yeah, like Omari or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was another good one that I really appreciated. And like, again, that one was really well done and really captures that kind of that feeling. Same as Companion City. I would kind of put them in the same realm of really capturing the moment.
Really, but again, like, to see what the general public thinks too. I'm going to put this out here for a poll. It's a lot of songs to try to listen to, so I understand if people don't. But it'll be nice to see some favorites. I'm probably going to post a straw poll or something, because I don't think Twitter polls can support what, 49 results.
Well, we're done with the songs. I had less to say there than you guys did. But while I was not writing, so I've also haven't written a song in a while. While I was not doing that, I actually had friend of the show Dugs reach out. You know, he's doing really well on YouTube. I think he hit his like subscriber milestone.
I think so.
But if you haven't subscribed, you should go subscribe to his YouTube, follow him on Twitch. But you know, I guess he's just like, he needs some more clout. You know, coming on the show wasn't enough. And so he, you know, he approached us with a sponsorship idea. And so we're really happy to announce that we have our first, you know, not like BlueSea.net, which doesn't, you know, which kind of exists. You know, Jeremy didn't pay us, but Dugs, you know, greased the wheels a little bit. And so we got McBain to record a little something, you know, to hopefully convince you about why you need the GreenSunZenith.com. So I think we're gonna start with that and we'll be back.
Hi, my name's Jeff. As a kid in 2013, I was always interested in playing fair cards, like Thalia, Guardian of Thraben. And I always kind of knew that's what I wanted to play, but I didn't see many people playing cards like that. And it always kind of scared me, and I was worried about being laughed at. And at a young age, I kind of dropped that dream. I ended up playing different formats. I played as an MTGO grinder and scum people's chess clocks. I watched the SCG tour in my 20s, but I kind of had to get out of that because they changed the organized structure of play and ended up just playing Arena because they got historic and I could play Thalia on there with cool animations. Basically, the best thing that ever happened to me was when Oko and Dreadhorde were banned in Legacy in 2021. When that happened, I was kind of pulled back to that point at my young age when my dream was still there. And I had to ask myself in my 30s if that dream was still alive. I basically searched online for, is Thalia playable in Legacy? And that's when I found the GreenSunZenith.com. Learning with the GreenSunZenith.com has never been easier. Reading the deck matchups, watching the stream, I was basically able to level up my game. The GreenSunZenith.com gives you the ability to play Thalia in all sorts of different green and white Maverick shells, Bant, Naya, and my favorite, Jung. Come learn and cast Thalia with me at the GreenSunZenith.com or by following twitch.tv/dogesontwitch or dogesontwitch on YouTube. Thank you, GreenSunZenith.com.
So, I mean, I guess if you don't want to be like Jeff, you know where you need to go now. Or I guess, Jeff, when you run out of birds to purchase or run out of funds for birds, I think you know what you have to do. Have you thought about that?
Drake, like, a bird?
What?
It's a drake.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if it's like super type bird, but like,
it's not a bird. It's a drake.
A drake's a bird.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, yeah. Okay.
It's like a dragon.
Oh, is it? Isn't a drake a bird? Yeah.
No. Oh. Maybe in real life, at least, but a drake is like a little dragon.
Oh.
How do you play Magic for so long and you don't know this?
Summon Drake. I just made fun of like the Harry Potter set. I don't know. Oh, I just like, you know, I also just Googled Drake and let me tell you, you don't get, you don't get to just like tell like what. Larry is smiling though. He looks happy. Drake. Fantasy? Is that what it would be? Now I'm just going to get some fun.
Sure.
Drake.
You're gonna find my fan fiction where I marry Drake.
Oh no, I'm just kidding. There's a fellow who plays in the NFL, so I'm beginning his fantasy. Oh, Drake, yeah, born for Drake. It's a wingless, four-legged dragon. Why does Gilda Drake fly?
So
it's supposed to be a smaller young dragon.
Yeah.
Smaller and less powerful.
Don't you like
not a fucking Drake? Bird? So what the hell's wrong with you?
I thought you were trying to make some dig at like me, I don't know, buying bops for like Maverick or something.
Yeah, I was like, where are you going with this, Quinn? What's going on?
Oh yeah, it's like a little dragon thing in the background. This is another thing.
Background? Is it even the background?
Well, there's like a dude in front.
Quinn, just stick to your Phyrexians, okay? You're all going to be one creature type soon, and just stick with them.
What kind of sometimes birds
I'll
are you sort seeing?
Be sorting cards.
Been inside
I'll
too
like
long.
Pick I'll pick one up to be like, oh, like I'll be like, oh, is that like, you know, something wrong with it, or like is there like fading on the foil or whatever, and I'll pick it up and be like, wow, this art's incredible. I just like it, my mind doesn't retain that stuff. I don't know, there's certain cards I know what they look like, and other ones you, if you were like, what is, I'm trying to think of, like it's hard to think of like a card where you can't picture it. Like, I don't know. Apparently, like, scale up has a big snake on it. I don't know. Like, I can't tell you what that says, but I've looked at that card like a zillion times.
Like people trying to find a face on the Tarmogoyf. So I mean, that's fully derailed. seek out education at greensunzenith.com.
Yeah, big shout outs to Dukes. Yeah. He's been doing great work.
Dukes was on. He was on Everyday Eternal a couple of episodes ago as well. So if you haven't listened to that, you should do that as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You should be listening to Everyday Eternal anyways.
Throw your support behind both of those people rather than trying to somehow get us your Patreon dollars. Oh, we're not worthy. Go send it elsewhere.
Going through the back catalog, I also want to say that I think the first Patreon reference is the second episode, I think, in the cold open, McBain, you referenced the Canadian special Patreon.
Isn't that like you make a podcast, you have to make a Patreon joke, right? You have to have to make a Patreon pitch or a Patreon joke. With that, should we wrap it up? Should we go to That's Gas? These aren't like 2-year commemorative That's Gas. They're just weekly That's Gas, I think. I know, Jeff. Another look behind the curtain. You just have spoiler in big letters. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could have just left it blank and it's still a spoiler for us.
I needed to remind myself that I didn't not have anything.
Oh, like you have, you thought of one.
Yeah.
Do you remember it? Are you ready?
I do. And I wanted to say that you are gas, Quinn. And this ties into the whole 2-year thing. You know, this whole thing was your brainchild and your like inertia to get moving in the first place, and certainly inertia to keep going with song parodies throughout that. You know, you've done a lot for this, all of the editing, you know, most of setting up all the different accounts and posting and, you know, trimming these things and cutting out the garbage when we run into each other and, you know, driving topics, ideas forward, and really just the songs. Extreme gas.
I feel you. Like the songs are me making up for my lack of legacy knowledge. I appreciate that. I'm going to go next and then apologize by saying, even though I think you're gas, Jeff, you're not my That's Gas this week.
This wasn't supposed to be like a reciprocal quid pro quo thing.
That's good, because it's not going to be. mine, we alluded to this as well. Mine is Nate from Eternal Dirtles, who I think I have That's Gas before. I think after we met and played in at Eternal Weekend. But you should go listen to the last episode of Eternal Dirtles, which is Nate's last episode of Eternal Dirtles. I think there's a lot of, I guess if you listen to Legacy Podcasts, there's a lot of reminiscing podcasts right now. So if you hate that shit, it's a real bad week to listen to your podcast. Because there was Everyday Eternal talking about their 100th episode. There's us and Eternal Dirtles. They interviewed Nate because it was his last episode. He was very adamant. Thankfully, he's not quitting Legacy, and he was like, I'll never quit Magic, and I'll never quit Legacy. But he's got, you know, other stuff going on, so he's not going to be on the podcast anymore. So shout out to Nate. Thanks for co-hosting one of my favorite podcasts. McBain, take us home.
Gavin Verhey is my guess this week. Not because he's a great member of the community and Wizards and does a lot for the game, but really like the conversation I had with him recently about Modern Horizons 2 and some of like the sneak peeks he was giving me. And like,
wait, you just had a conversation with Gavin? Like, you
yeah, so Gavin and show. I were chatting. And you know, like he's like, you know, we learned a lot from Modern Horizons 1, like specifically with the Eternal formats, like Legacy and Vintage, and how disruptive they were. And they've really taken that to heart. And that was kind of like a guiding principle in how they were developing this set. So like the fact that they can like take that away and kind of, and do that, big shout outs to Gavin. Hopefully what I said is all true. And Modern Horizons 2 isn't a dumpster fire.
I love these bits of McBain's actually a consultant for WotC.
Usually when you say something like this, I'm like, well, this can't be true. But Gavin Verhey is actually such a good dude. I was like, what, like in Twitter or something? He just like, you had a back and forth going, because he'll do that.
No, I have to be truthfully honest, similar to my conversation with Reed Duke, which didn't happen. My conversation with Gavin also didn't happen. But great things happened after I did imaginarily talk to Reed Duke. So maybe, you know, it's just me like, you know, projecting, like I'm kind of following the secret. And I'm like,
Reed or Ian?
Ian, sorry, not Reed.
Maybe you like incepted it through like channeling with Reed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was like, you know, they're meeting up for breakfast and he's like, you know what? I have a lot of thoughts all of a sudden.
Hey Reed, we can't get Ian on the line, but could you maybe, next time you're talking, just like, you know, mention how much you dislike Oko in Legacy specifically?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically that. Go listen to the Eternal Glory podcast that they just did, breaking down why Oko is so bad and why it needs to be banned, and also Dreadhorde, and then basically just write that in and steal a little bit from Anorog's speech on the whole matter, and then cap it off with Dylan's write up on how bad Oko is, and just, you know, send it in. It'd be great. So yeah, just kind of manifesting that same conversation that I had with Ian, to avoid the certain disaster that was not banning Oko. Really, it's the same conversation that I'm imaginarily having with Gavin about how great of a job they did on Modern Horizons 2, and really try to specifically not kill an amazing format that is Legacy right now. So thank you, Gavin. Your gas.
I was going to say that I think we could maybe actually ask Gavin Verhey. He might come on the cast. But also one time he tweeted about like, what would be the best song to make a song about Magic about? And I was like, buddy, we got like 40 of them at that point in time. And so I sent him a link and he put like eyes on it and like liked my post and then like didn't reply. I'm like, ooh, I guess like every song is like how shitty the cards they're making are. Probably should have picked one out that was like, wasn't about that.
Maybe so Jeff, you're going to be sending out a poll, and when we get down to like maybe the top five or something, or what's most popular, we can kind of send it over and get some more eyes on that. And, you know, get all the e-clout.
No, that's a good idea.
All right. Those future plans aside for now, Jeff, where can people find you?
I am on Twitter at JeffDKK.
I'm on Twitter at Quiddle Mori. I'm on Twitter at Quiddle Mori. You can find us all on Twitter at Canadian Thresh, I think is that right?
Double check. I was like, is it
right in the show notes?
Can Thresh?
It's right in the show notes.
At Canadian Thresh. And then McBain, where can people find you? Quick.
Can I go now? Should I say it now? At Servant Painter.
That's a thing. If anyone has only listened to episodes like, you know, the last couple, they're gonna be like, why is this funny? And it's, I mean, even if people listen a long time, they might not think it's funny, but I think it's hilarious.
That's just the tagline for the podcast.
Yeah. McBain doesn't know his Twitter handle. Like, yes, it does. Anyways, thank you all for listening, whether it's been 2 years or 2 minutes. We appreciate it. Like we talked about, we started doing this for us, and I think we still kind of do it for us, but it has meant the world. I think I speak for both you guys when I say to all of us. Mm-hmm. That anyone gives a damn about what we have to say. So Yeah, thanks for 2 years, and hopefully there's more to come. See you all.
There will be more to come.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be at least a couple, yeah.